Hey everyone, welcome back to The Score. This is Chelsea Schaefer. Today's episode is a direct result of a phone call I had with Bobby Joe Hill last week of Hill Rodeo Cattle. I was curious where the cattle situation stood at the border, and it just so happened that I reached out to Bobby Joe the day after the border reclosed. So this episode is a very educational one for me because I didn't realize the border had closed the night before, and Bobby Joe had quite a bit of information that he gathered from his contacts in Mexico and then on the U.S. side of the border. After I talked to Bobby Joe, I did give Ty Yost a call because I know he has some massive herds of M-branded cattle and he crosses a lot of M-branded cattle. He was not as concerned as Bobby Joe's tone is in this interview. He's got a lot of cattle ready for all of his ropings, and he's confident in the natives that they've got at the got ready for the World Series and all the big ropings coming up. But he did agree with Bobby Joe that this is mostly a political situation rather than a genuine screwworm situation. So he had a lot of insights that I will share in an article coming up. I always promise Ty that I won't record him for an audio podcast because he doesn't like to be on podcasts. But Ty did confirm that the situation is the same as Bobby Joe said when it comes to the border and not knowing exactly how long it's going to be closed for. But he did say that he is not as concerned with the cattle for the everyday ropings across the country as Bobby Joe is and his tone is in this interview. But Bobby Joe has a lot of insights, very valuable from a producer and a cattle contractor standpoint. So I hope you enjoy this episode of The Score. Today's episode is brought to you by Thombre Head Rope from Fastback Ropes. It is a 4-strand rope with core construction. It's small and light, and it has a bright orange color for high visibility. The ombre has a relaxed feel, a smaller diameter, and rough exterior that are meticulously designed to enhance the grip on the saddle horn. With core construction, small diameter, great tip weight, available in an extra, extra soft, and medium soft, the ombre is made to order, and it will be shipped 2 to 3 weeks from the time you order it if you're getting it through fastbackropes.com. If you want to talk to somebody, give them a call, 817-279-1851. All right, well, give me, what have you learned about what this is going on in the steer situation right now at the border?
Well, I had 3 loads that was ready to cross on the 29th of this month. And the guy I get my steers from, he's actually in Miami right now on vacation. And I texted him yesterday evening when it come out, and he hadn't even heard about it. And then the guy at the border that does the crossing at his bins, I talked to him a little earlier, and the news said screwworm. They found a screwworm. He's saying totally different. He said all that's just political stuff. He said there was like 4,800 head coming out of one state. They just moved them into Durango for slaughter. So, and I guess the USDA got wind of it, if I understood him correctly. The USDA got wind of it, them moving them, and I don't think they were supposed to be moving them, even though it was for slaughter. And so that's kind of what got it shut down.
Got it.
Maybe they're supposed to have permits moving them, but I guess crossing state lines. And he said he would keep me updated, but I asked him, I said, well, it's going to be a couple months. And he said, this time, just with the USDA and SIGARPA, which is the Mexican USDA, he said it could be a year.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that's not good.
And that means you said you have 3 loads. How many is in a load? What does that mean?
So how many? 100. He sends 125, and they liable to cut 1 or 2, 3 off. Usually, at least get 120 at a time.
Wow. So honestly, I didn't really know there was, when I was like, oh, I should update the cattle situation. I didn't know there was a fresh, within the last 24 hours, dramatic update to the cattle situation. So
Yeah.
so obviously that's going to be, what do you see that? I mean, a year, that's not good, but what do you see that doing? Or what are you thinking? What's going through your brain?
The team ropers that really gripe at the team roper ropings because they draw a bad steer, they're really going to get the opportunity to grout now.
Got it. So how many head do you have right now of Mexicans?
Probably that I'm roping probably 550.
How many do
And
you
that's
usually have? Like on a normal year, how many do you have?
usually about 700, so I can kind of rest a couple loads a week. But here lately, they've been getting to go just about every week.
So have you had to cut down on the amount of rodeos that you're doing and find other producers, or what have you been, what's your workaround been?
The rodeos, I've been able to handle the rodeos, the ropings. I've had to get a help with a load here or there, just kind of get by. If I have a big roping and I need steers kind of freshened up, I'll get some help the week before, just kind of depending on the roping.
So what are the prices right now? I mean, obviously, I bet they're going to change in the next 24 hours, or they've already changed in the last 24 hours, but what are you paying at the border, and then what are you selling them for if you need to sell one?
Well, I hadn't had a price locked in on the loads coming, but I sold some steers that were not very good to team rope, that had bulldog and top horns, and sold them as potential bulldoggers for $1,600.
What would you have, what was, what were they going for last year or the year after or the year before?
1,000, 1,100 maybe, if that. This time last year, I'd have to go back and look, but
Yeah.
just thinking maybe 1,000.
Are you passing along the cost to producers, or like the increased cost to producers and to stock contractors or to the committees? What do you?
The new committees or producers that just start now or need them, they get the upgraded cost. The producer that's been with me forever, it's hard to go with them because there's been some cutthroats that's come in and offered to do it cheaper and they've stuck with me. So it's kind of hard just midstream jump ship on them price wise. So at the end of the year, we'll talk about it. Like, got off the phone with Darren Peterson an hour ago, and he's like, what are they going to cost? He didn't know they'd shut it down yesterday evening. And he's like, well, what's it going to cost for the Cojo? And I'm like, I don't know yet. I said, I'd rather me and you sit down, figure out what works for both of us, and go from there, because he's another one on the things he's used me. He's never jump ship to save a dollar. So just out of respect, I'm trying to take care of things that make it work for both of us.
Now, are there, do you have any native herds right now, or are you, what are
I
you?
do. I bought some out of Hamilton a few weeks ago. We tripped them at Pecos last week, and we might have to hang on to them and get some use out of them.
What are you, I mean, you're talking, we were talking about the Cojo, that's in October. What are you thinking about the NFR steers? Do you still have your herd that you've been sorting off for the NFR?
Yeah, they're put back. Like I got 60 got right at 70 head put back. The contract calls for 60 to bring to Vegas, and then it says to rope through 100, have 100 to rope through, which everybody's in the loop. So I've talked to Driggers, and we're just, like I said, I was hoping on getting this three loads into the month and everything would be good to go. But which the guy at the border that has the pins, he just said it could be a year, but he knows, he probably knows a little bit more than you or I do, but when he says it could be a year, then it's possible that we won't have any for a while. There's no telling what the prices over here will jump to. I just thought they were high in Hamilton. They're probably going to climb the ladder.
What do you see as a domino effect that ropers are going to, I mean, we said that they're really going to have something to complain about here soon, but
absolutely.
What else do you think they're going to see? I mean, are we going to be seeing muleys at jackpots? Are we going to be seeing natives? Like what's your magic eight ball say?
Boogie Ray and I, we put on the amateur rodeo at Teague this past weekend, the 4th of July rodeo. And I had the idea because I've seen the rope and shoots are on the right-hand side, like on the wall. A lot of steers just come out, circle up like they're lost. I've sent fresh steers, old steers, broke-in steers. I never had a good team rope in there. So I told him, I said, let's try the muley deal and see if it worked. And so we roped 400-pound muleys, old roping calves, and I thought it went great. Like, everybody was talking about it. And so there's a chance that muleys, it will go to muleys. Because we're running out of, look at that Hamilton sale in April. I think they had a little over 1,200 head. And I think they had 750 a couple weeks ago. So at their June 1st sale. We're running out of the roping steers, so it's going to be a possibility of muleys, but you know, you break a leg, there's easily $2,000.
So what do you see other stock contractors doing? Like, are people getting out of the business? Are they doubling down? What do you see your counterparts doing?
I've seen some of them that are done. They can't get the steers, and they can't produce what they have a contract for, and they're just kind of going away. I give way too much money for some steers at Hamilton. But between Jeff Hilton and I, we bought 446 head. But I had to have them to be able to provide for my contracts. So it was kind of, it wouldn't matter what the cost was. You just have to try to make it up later. And there were some other people there that probably needed steers for their contracts, but like I said, I give a little too much money, but I had to have them.
Yeah.
And hoping that the steer market, the price will keep rising, so it doesn't hurt that bad.
Yeah. Where do your steer? What's your end game for your steers after they're roped out? What do you do with them? Do they?
Send them to the feed yard.
You do. Got it.
And it's been good. It's been good the last few loads we've killed, just because of, there's not enough beef cattle that they're actually bringing a little money now.
Okay.
On the backside.
That's a perk, I guess. That's a survival mechanism at the moment.
It's kind of like a win.
Yeah. What else are you doing to stay ahead of the game? Like, what strategies are you doing to keep yourself afloat right now?
Shoot,
Just out hustling everybody.
just trying to out hustle. We, Boogie Ray and I, we put on some amateur rodeos and they've been good. We hadn't got rich doing it, but we're making a little money on the side, so it's been good.
What advice do you have for just a jackpot team roper who's trying to put their practice cattle together? Like, what should they be looking for? What kind of practice, where do they get practice cattle without losing, you know, breaking the bank? Or is there a way to do it without?
I don't know, it may be cheaper to go pay to practice somewhere at weekly practices, because they're going to have to give the same money that I'm giving for the steer. I get run money off of them. They're not going to get run money off of them as far as practicing. So it may be cheaper to go to your Tuesday, Wednesday night practice and spend 40, 50 bucks and run 10, 15 steers and call it good.
We are going to take a break from this episode to talk about the ombre head rope from Fastback Ropes. It is a 4-strand rope with core construction. It's small and light, and it has a bright orange color for high visibility. The ombre has a relaxed feel, a smaller diameter, and a rough exterior that are meticulously designed to enhance grip on the saddle horn. With core construction, that small diameter, great tip weight, it is available in an extra, extra soft, soft, and medium soft. You can call to order 817-279-1851 or order at fastbackropes.com. Now, we talked about the head rope. The ombre heel rope is 35 foot. It is available in soft, medium, and hard medium. If you are in the market for a heel rope, it is also available at fastbackropes.com. And by calling 817-279-1851.
What do you think ropers and producers should be looking for in the next, like, 6 to 12 months? Like, I mean, how did you hear about this, the USDA shutting down the border? And, like, where are you getting your information from?
Shoot, that was simple. Facebook tells you everything. you know, when I heard it, I messaged the guy I get my steers from. And like I said, he's on vacation in Miami, so he hadn't heard about it. And like when I seen it, it only been posted actually from the USDA website, like 25 minutes when I seen it been posted. And then I called the broker at the border that has the pens they deliver them to and where I pick them up. And he told me all the rest. The paper said they found a shrew worm in one of the states. When I talked to the broker, he said that it was over them transporting 4,800 head from one state in Mexico to Durango, even though they was for slaughter, wasn't like they were going to turn them back out, and the USDA got wind of it. Maybe they should have had permits, even though they sent them to slaughter. Maybe the USDA give them rules about how they could transport cattle in Mexico while they're trying to get this screw worm controlled. And so I just kind of went to the direct source, the guy I buy them from and the guy at the border, because they seem to know a little more than what some of the rumors float around Facebook are.
Yeah. What's been, have you had to make any like hard decisions yourself for your business in the last year? Like what sort of hard choices have you had to make?
Buying native cattle out of the sale barn.
Yeah, that was probably brutal, huh?
dealing, they were high enough, but dealing with the sickness.
Yeah.
It is crazy, the sickness that has come out of that sale. And I've talked to another guy, yesterday. He bought some corn, he just cows, and he had a few of them get sick and die, like older corny cows that you would never think would have a problem. And I don't know why, but it seems like everything seems to get sick coming out of that barn.
I see. What kind of sickness?
Have no idea.
Oh, I see.
A dying sickness.
A dying sickness. That's not good. What is something you wish ropers or producers understood better about the cattle side of the business right now? Like, do you feel like there's a misunderstanding about what you've got going or and how hard this situation is?
This is just my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid growing up, you wrote for 50% payback. I get it, fees were cheaper, but it was 50% payback. And everybody showed up, everybody roped, everybody had a good time. Then when Denny come along with the World Series and the 80% payback, which was great for the ropers. It was great. It was good. I'd say it was good for the producers. But now with the cattle the way they are, you got to have cattle to have a rope, obviously. And they're costing so much more. And the producers are not making any more money. But yet, we're needing more money to make it work on our end with the cattle. The payback is going to have to go down. Whether it goes down to 70, 65%, just to help the producer be able to put on the roping and not lose money. Is my opinion, which the cattle deal, if this deal stays shut down for a year, it's going to be tough.
Yeah. Huh. Well, let's hope not.
Or there'll be a lot more muleys being roped.
Is there any, like, if people want to do anything, is this something that, like, you know, when there's a political issue, you can call your senator, you can write letters. Is this just something that is purely at the hands of the USDA and there's not really anything anybody can do about it because it's theoretically the screwworm issue?
The guy at the border told me that's all it is a political. It's all political. And like I said, he said there wasn't a screw worm that they found. It was all had to do with them bringing in 4,800 head of beef calves crossing state lines, I guess, even though they were going to slaughter.
Uh-huh.
Because then I get it. If the USDA tells them, hey, you can't do this without permits, and they cross 4,800 head, how many other people are going to cross 15 or 20 without the USDA knowing?
So there's no telling right now, but could people pressure? I wonder if people can, like, call their congressmen and call their senators and make any difference, if there's anything to be done about this.
I don't know. You think you could start this afternoon calling around for us?
I'll work on it. I'll get the letter writing chain going. Well, thank you, sir, for educating me on this matter. Because I don't know
if it's educating, but like I said, it's just, like, I don't know how to answer the questions. Just in shock. When I figured they'd go down there, week or two, fluke deal, was not a screw worm, and then open the border back up. And when he said a year, that's pretty spooky when about 95% of my cattle come from Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, something we didn't talk about is that, have you heard how it's affecting the people who raise these cattle in Mexico? I'm sure that this is awfully hard on your contacts there in Mexico too.
Well, the guy at the border with the pens, he was talking, he had some cattle that he was getting ready to ship. He's like, some of them are weighing from 700 to 800 pounds right now, and he was shipping them here. And he said, if they don't get it open, they're going to be worth hardly nothing over there. So this is hurting them also, not being able to bring their cattle over here just because it's so the so many, the packers will be able to give them whatever they want to farm because they ate too many cattle. And then over here, we don't have enough.
Well, and a lot of the, like, I remember forever ago when we did a story about this, a lot of those people were like single families that would have one steer, two steers in their backyards and stuff. So I'm sure they're taking a hit too, like of the people who are just raising the Coriannies for, you know.
Absolutely. And most of that comes down in Chiapas, like southern Mexico, which those states have been quarantined since April of maybe 3 years ago. And that's where all the better quality Coriannies come from, in my opinion, that doesn't have the beef influence to them. Like the picture I showed you where they were all tied together and staked out in the yard. Those all come out of Chiapas, which is southern Mexico, and we haven't been able to get any. So there's not, I don't think there's as many of the single families that own one or two in Chihuahua. Maybe there is, but not near as many as there is in southern Mexico. But of
Got
course, if they raise one for 2 years and go to sell them, and that's kind of their income for the year, and they're taking half price through the buyers over there, heck yeah, it's gonna hurt.
Yeah, it sure seems like it. It is a quite the ripple effect from like poor families in southern Mexico, the whole way to like junior rodeo families in Montana to NFR competitors. It's like all affecting everybody.
It's everybody. And like I said, I have about 70 fresh steers, and the only other person I know that might is Ty Yost, and which I think he used 200 of his fresh ones at Cheyenne last week for the team roping. And then I guess they're going to Montana to his summer opens he has up there, I'm guessing. But there's not going to be a whole lot of fresh steers left out there.
Is there anything that like producers who have natives here or like people who raise natives in the US can do to make them like more
Better.
desirable? Yeah, is there anything that like we can evolve the native production?
Yes, take them and turn them out on, I'm not saying starve them, but the problem is a lot of them, their horns outgrow their bodies, but they need to sell them when they're 2.5 years old instead of 14 months and get the age on them. Just they're so tender and their horns are not developed hard when we start roping them. And it's like we don't have the time to wait that other year and a half on them. I just don't think it'll ever work. It'll cost too much. They can put beef bulls on their cows and sell them in 8, 9 months for the same money, if not more. They can keep that steer for 2.5 years and then sell them. So why would they keep a steer around for 2.5 years when they could raise a beef calf out of the cow and sell it in 8 months?
Sure. Quite the quandary. I should call Ty Yost now and see what Ty says about the whole situation too. 'Cause he's certainly in the thick of it as well.
Absolutely. Maybe it'd be a lot more goat ropings going on.
Hey, me and Tyler and Wesley put on that sled roping that for the kids and they really liked that. So maybe.
You know, sled roping, and then somebody's going to pull the sled faster than they pulled it for the other team, and you're still going to have the complaints.
Team ropers are just fundamentally hard to keep happy.
But we need to go back, and you need to do an interview with somebody else here in about 8 months to a year, when if the cattle do get very short and terrible at these ropings, and just see if they grow accustomed to it. Of hey, steer's probably going to suck, but we love ropes, so we're gonna go try it.
Yeah. Gamble a little bit. A little bit more.
Absolutely.
A little bit more than we already do.
Little bit more, absolutely.
Thank you, Bobby Joe. I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of The Score. If you made it through to the end, I hope you got an education on the cattle market. And we will be back next week.